Our God is awesome. Have you you see these little anchor things that we have here? Do you know that the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13:13, how it says faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love? Well, this symbol, I don't know if you've seen, the faith symbol is the cross, the symbol for love is the heart, and the symbol for hope is the anchor. That's why I have the anchor symbols around for us. If you you have a little bulletin sheet, so you can take notes if you want to, and we are going to go over some of these. We're on the restoration series, and excuse me for a second, but I forgot to get rid of my gum. I apologize. So I'm going to get rid of that really quick. I forgot to do this. I meant to do that earlier. Sorry. Okay. Oops. Okay. But we're on now Restoration of Hope today. And I like this restoration series. I don't know about you, but it's when you're doing your walk as a Christian, sometimes it's easy to get kind of weighed down. Sometimes you take your eyes off of the Lord, and it's just great to be encouraged here and there and in the Word and in what we have that God has for each one of us. So this has been awesome to go through this restoration series as things for a lot of us are not super peachy king times right now. They are a lot of us are going through some challenges in life right now and have some challenges presented to us. And so today we are going to go over the restoration of hope. In your Bibles, if you want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 17, you can follow along. Otherwise, it will be on the screen. And Jeremiah 17:7 in the Amplified says, "Most blessed is a man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is, or is in the Lord." I love the way the Message says it in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. This is a translation, not a version. And it says, "Cursed is the strong one who depends on mere humans, who thinks he can make it on muscle alone and sets God aside as a dead weight. He is like a tumbleweed on the prairie, out of touch with the good earth. He lives rootless and aimless in a land where nothing grows. Blessed is the man who trusts me," meaning God, "the woman who sticks with God. They are like trees replanted," I like that, "replanted in Eden," which means delight, "putting down roots near the river. Never a worry through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf. Serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit in every season." This is our God, and I just love it that He is going to bless us as we go through this, as we learn about restoration of hope. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these scriptures. We thank you for what you have to teach each one of us. Help us to hear and receive what you have for each one of us. We thank you for your love. And we thank you that you know the minutest of details of what is going on in our lives, Lord. And we thank you that there is hope in you, Lord God, as we surrender with humble hearts to you. We thank you, Lord. We release this to you, and we thank you, Lord, that you now are going to speak to us this morning. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, restoration of hope. In John chapter 7 and 37 and 39, it talks about, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." But when he was talking about that, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. He was saying, like, in other words, there's hope. There's hope in me. Remember the Samaritan woman at the well, that story in John chapter 4? And she was like going, "What do you have?" And he was sharing hope to her, a hope that they were all excited about the promised Messiah. And this water that he was talking about, what was that? That, "Oh, I'll never thirst again." So that was really neat because he was once again talking about the Holy Spirit. See, before the Holy Spirit even came, Jesus was talking about him, knowing that we would always have that hope, always ready, which is the fullness of the Lord God Himself. So, what is hope? Well, first of all, I want to state a fact that hope is based on the Word of God. And remember, Jesus is the Word. Hope is not something based on feelings. It's not wishful thinking. So as we look at the Hebrew definition, there's a lot of different words that is used for hope in the Hebrew. But I combined kind of some of the definitions for it. Cord, longing for, confident expectation, a refuge, security, an assurance, a trust. So, and I kept seeing like, to trust. There was, it was like three times there. But I love that. To be confident or sure. To be bold, confident, secure, sure. We have that when Jesus is our Lord and Savior. With that living water, living us, the Spirit living in us all the time. The Greek says to anticipate, usually with pleasure, expectation, or confidence. When I was looking up, and it was saying how cord, that hope, the expectation, it's like a ground for hope. Things hope for outcome. But I love when I was looking it up, and when I was looking up tikva, which is for hope, which is from the scriptures that I was using, Jeremiah 17. And I love it because it also, in Joshua chapter 2, verse 18 and 21, it was also using tikva, which means a cord. And cord means an attachment. So it's something that I long for. Well, do you remember the story of Rahab? In Joshua chapter 2, verses 18 through 21, it says, "Behold, when we come into the land, you shall bind the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down." Do you remember that? So she let them down. "And you shall bring your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household into the house." Why? Because they were going to come in and they were going to defeat. Israel was going to defeat the territory. Well, but this cord, the scarlet cord that Rahab put down, right? That was what helped them to go. So they took down so they could go back and then they could fight. But how, that same cord that let them down to go out and fight for her safety was the one that was used for her safety. Because as that was down, it saved any of her family that was with her. Well, this hope that we have is that cord. It's that line. Some of the scriptures use it as line. See, when we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are going to start being attached to Him, everything that He's done for us. We have hope in and through Him. It's not because of us, it's because of Him, the fullness of Him. See, this hope is attached to what Jesus did for each and every one of us. It is attached to the power of the cross. What He did for each one of us. See, He died and He rose again for each one of us. There is power in that shed blood for each one of us. Power in the resurrection of the Christ, which is available to us. Ephesians 1 really emphasizes that. So, our hope was in Him. Jesus, remember, in John chapter 1, was before the world began. The Word, Genesis, it talks about how we were created in Him and how the breath of life was given to us. But He was before. Remember Hebrews 13:8? Jesus is the Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This hope attaches us to the power of the resurrection of the cross. But in the definition, when I was looking up, see, do you see how this represented so much? This cord represents basically the scarlet cord, the red blood that Jesus did. Remember how he died for us. He went down fought for us, defeated death, the punishment, and rose up again. That same blood is now available. It's that cord, that attachment in Him, the hope that is Him, that is fighting for us each and every day, that cleanses us of all of our sins, and that attaches us to the power of the resurrection of the cross, each and every day. This is very symbolic, and there was a reason why they said, let down the scarlet cord. Because of the power. This cord, this hope, was the word that it was used. This hope is also for us today. The definition of hope in the dictionary was to cherish a desire with anticipation. And I loved it. It said, hopes for promotion. We're going to be promoted to heaven through our Lord and Savior one day. No matter what's going on now, we still have that hope because we are attached. To desire with expectation of obtainment, to expect with confidence. This is what we need to have in the midst of what is going on. That expectation and that confidence. But see, you know, there's in Proverbs 13, chapter 12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. In this definition on the dictionary, when I was looking it up online, it said to hope against hope. How many of us do that? That's basically hope deferred, making our hearts sick. Because we're hoping against hope. Do we really believe in the Word of God? Do we really believe that we have each and every one of these promises available to us? Do we really live our lives knowing that no matter how horrible things are going on right now, that we have a hope in Jesus that God will work everything out together for good to those who love Him, to those who obey Him? That is His purpose. That is what He's called us to. So, do we really have that hope, or are we hoping against hope? As Proverbs 13:12 says, it's making our heart sick because we have hope deferred. See, we can choose to keep this hope attached, or we can choose to take it off. Nothing can separate us from the hope, the fullness of God that He has for each one of us. Nothing. But we can choose to let go of the hope. That's hope against hope and hope deferred. It's still there. It's available for each one of us. Now, sometimes as things happen and as you're active, you may see that it's getting a little bit loose. You need to tie that knot strong with that hope. Just recheck it here and there. Am I really hoping, or am I letting it get a little bit hope deferred? See, one thing about hope is it is full of God, past, present, and future. See, remember when I was saying Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Remember Alpha and Omega? Revelation talks about that. In Revelation 1:8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was past, who is, and who is to come. Yes, I am Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to see how we can see, what does He really mean by this? Because we see, as in John chapter 1, that He was in the beginning with God and He created us. They created us in their image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we have hope in the past. It is full of God, His presence in the past. Do you remember Psalm 139, right? Awesome Psalm, right? Well, it says in verse 16, you saw me before I was even born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. He was there. The hope, the fullness of God was there in the past, before we were even created in our mother's womb. He had a plan and a purpose. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, that plan and the purpose It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, not of evil, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Remember, we need a hope, not a hope that defers, making our heart sick, but a hope in the hope of God. Past, because he had a plan and a purpose. He knew everything that's going on right now in our details. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But he can work that together for good if we love him and our true hearts are wanting to obey him. This is hope of the past. Hope of the present is full of God and his wholeness and fullness. Chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says, "In him you also have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed and adhered to and relied on him. You were stamped with the seal of the long-promised Holy Spirit." Remember, Jesus was referring to that. And that living water, the living streams of life, because as we are in the word of God, it is feeding us, and the Holy Spirit is working in us, empowering us, healing and ministering to us, filling us with the fullness of God, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and the power of his word. Because as I am in the word of God, believing it, maybe I don't understand it, but believing it, because in the Holy Spirit's time, he will reveal to us. He is our teacher. He is our counselor. But we need to trust in that too, that God will reveal maybe part of the scripture we don't understand in his way and his timing. But instead, we're still reading the word, and at times when we see something that touches us tremendously, we are claiming it over our lives, praying it. But we are keeping attached by this. Because as we choose to not prioritize our time with the Lord, this knot starts getting a little loose. This attachment and the hope starts getting deferred. And eventually, it is totally deferred and we're sick. But we need to take that time to prioritize, to keep that hope attached, strong, that is available for us. It is always there. God is saying for us to draw near to him, and he will draw near to us. Seek him with all our heart, mind, soul. That means a determination on our part. Boy, then we're filled with the fullness of God, the hope, the past, the present, the future. It is all there for us. But we have to do something on our part. I love it that John 14, 16 and 17 talks about the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He promises that he's coming to us. And we have him. See, Jesus knew that, you know, when he was talking to disciples, he wanted them to give them a hope, knowing that they had a hope. He was hope. And the Bible talks about that. We can see that in 1 Peter chapter 2, and then we see in Psalm 22 how the Old Testament and the New Testament are brought together. Psalm 22 talks about Jesus and the crucifixion, the power of the cross, that our hope before crucifixion was ever even done. It hadn't even been thought of. But King David was talking about that, prophesying what Jesus would do. And 1 Peter 2 talks about the fulfillment of that, which Jesus did and offered for us, the hope that is ours, the power that we have, the power of the resurrection of the cross is ours, the power of the name of Jesus is ours. This is our hope, the fullness of God, past, present, because we have the Holy Spirit with us. We are not alone. We can grieve him, we can quench him, if we are choosing to sin, if we are choosing to be disobedient, but we can have repentant hearts, hearts that want him to point out anything that where we need help, and then we can have this strong on each one of us. Boy, I'm getting this all tangled up. So I know. Whoa, and now I just lost my microphone. Came off. Boy, I'm just having challenges, aren't I? So, and I lost this, huh? Did it come off? But you can hear me now. Okay, sorry. I guess because I kept doing that and it got loose. Because I kept tying it around. Sorry about that. Okay. But remember in John chapter 15, it says the vine. Is this okay? And it says how the vine, and it talks about how the fruit. Remember how I was reading that first one? It says we will have fruit in all season. The message, the paraphrase. Well, this is reminding us that as we are in the Word and as we are drawing to God, we're remaining in His love, the power of the hope that we have, because it's all connected. Faith, hope, and love, it's all connected. It's all the fullness of God and what He has to offer for each one of us. And we need to look at the future. What does He have for us in the future? Well, I love that. Have you ever read Romans 8? Any of you ever read Romans 8? I love that. That's one of my favorite chapters. I mean, I like a lot of chapters, but that's one of my favorites. And I love it because in verses 1 through 17, it talks about life through the Spirit. And then in verses 18 through 27, it talks about future glory. And then in verses 28 through 39, it talks about we are more than conquerors. See, it talks about that hope that we have. I love it that it's talking about the future, but it also talks about what we have right now with Him. We are not alone. But are we living that? Every day we need to make sure that we're living in that restoration of hope each and every day, the fullness of God, because He was there before our past. Before we ever were born, He had that plan and purpose of Christ doing in the power of the resurrection of the cross for each one of us before we were born. And then He is with us now, and the future of what He has for each one of us. We are more than conquerors. We have a home in the Lord God. I love it where he tells us how He is preparing a home for each one of us. See, the future is also full of the presence of God. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, it says, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He is saying in verse 3, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Why? He's going, well, remember Thomas is asking, doubting Thomas, he goes, well, what do you mean? You know, we know the way. And he goes, well, hello, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. But isn't it awesome to know that He's preparing a place for each one of us? This is our hope. See, heaven is so awesome and wonderful. We can't even comprehend. Even the best of our thoughts can't even comprehend truly what it really has to offer for each one of us. But what I love is when I read in Revelations 21, verse 4, it says, He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Is our hope. I don't know about you. I would so love to have no more crying or pain or death. Those that we love and we miss. I sure would like that. Just the glory. God, full of hope. The fullness of His hope. The fullness of His love. The fullness of His goodness. The fullness of His true pureness, righteousness. That will be in heaven. And we will have that. We won't be dealing with what the earth is, the challenges here because of Satan, because of sin. Yes, we are more than conquerors. Jesus tells us we are going to have trials and tribulations in this world. But He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We need to live a life full of hope in the victory that we truly have in Him. Not hope deferred. But the hope that is attached, anchored to everything that we have through the blood that was shed on the cross for each one of us. That is awesome how Rahab was an example. That scarlet cord. But her and her household. See, the Lord tells us to share this hope with others. to be an example of living this hope daily. But we have to continue to restore that hope in us by spending time with God, praying, worshiping, claiming the power of the Word over our lives, over our situation, over our loved ones, over our families, over our jobs, over our school, over our government, over our church, all areas of our life. Being in the Word, you may not understand it, but it is feeding you, and it is changing. It is healing and ministering to you in ways that you can't even describe. Because this is unseen to us, the power of His Word. It is the living, breathing power of the Lord God Almighty, full of His hope, His love, His faith. Because as we attach our hope to Him, as we attach our love to His love, as we attach our faith to His faith, watch what happens. It takes care of that sick heart, that hope against hope, that hope that is deferred. See, each one of us can live a life full of the restoration of hope, which is the full of the presence of God, past, present, and future. Restoration of hope. We each need to say yes to living with the hope. For living with hope is full of the wholeness of His being. And I said 1 Peter 2, I'm sorry, it was 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. I love it that also how it describes how our God is totally, and it was first when I was referring to it, 1 Peter 13 through 23, but I like verse 21 where it says, through Him you believe in God who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. This is what we have. I love verse 21. Because see, God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And through Him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood that was shed on the cross for each one of us. This is the hope that we have, the resurrection power each and every one of us has each and every day of our lives, no matter what's going on. You know, have you ever been on a flight with a lot of turbulence? Sometimes it's kind of like really frightening. And it was funny, I heard this rabbi, Christian, you know, rabbi pastor, talking, and he was talking about he doesn't like flying and he has to fly sometimes. And he was saying, you know, on the airplane, you know, when there's really heavy duty, major bad turbulence, he was going, you can tell. He goes, the Christians are praying, the evangelical Christians are praying in tongues, and he says the heathen are swearing up a storm left and right, you know, and he says you can tell. But he says once a pilot comes on, he says, I mean, trying to calm people down, you know, we've got it under control, you know, we'll get through this, I'm going to change the altitude that the plane's flying in, and it's going to be good. Well, this is what we have when we are attached with the hope of God, and we hear His still, quiet voice saying, you're in my hands. I love you. Don't worry. I've got this under control. You keep looking to me, surrendering everything to me, and watch. I will work this out together for good, for my glory. It's not about us. It's about Him. Past, present, and future. But in it, about Him, He is all about us. He loves us. And He has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. He is there for each one of us. So we need to make sure that this hope is tight and not getting loose. We need to do that, but it's an action on our part to keep it tight, that hope connected to the fullness of our Lord God Almighty, past, present, and future. The anchor definition, I looked it up, and it says, a person or thing that can be relied on for support, stability, or security. It is our mainstay. Hope was His only anchor. A reliable or principal support. A chief support. a source of security and stability. This is why the anchor is our symbol of hope. The word, you know that song, anchors away, my friends. Okay, well, the word way, in this sense, comes from the archaic word meaning to heave, hoist, or raise. A way means that action has been completed. The anchor is a way when it is pulled from the bottom. This event is duly noted in the ship's log. So, my challenge for you is to have in God's log of our lives, it be duly noted that you now have taken the anchor away. I changed some of the words. And I was looking up at some of them, and it says, stand, Navy, out to sea. Fight for battle cry. We'll never change our course. So vicious foe, steer shy. And then it says, we'll never change our course. So vicious, roll out the TNT, anchors away, sail on to victory, and sink their bones to Davy Jones, hooray. Well, I changed it a little bit. I like to do that. Had a hard time with the ending, but listen. Stand Christians out in life, for God's hope. We'll never change our course, so vicious foes steer shy. Roll out the TNT, Jesus' name. Live in His victory with faith and courage, service, honor overhead. Run for His glory, us alone. But anchors away, my friend. I love it because this vicious foe needs to shy away because we are anchors away as we live our lives full of His hope. So please restore that hope. Stay attached to the fullness, the power of God, past, present, and future. Anchors away. You know, this is a time when, too, we have the power of prayer in our lives. And we are going to have this time where we sing a song and worship unto the Lord as we also offer some of the prayer altar. Ministry team will be up standing and offering the power of prayer with you, for each one of you, joining you in the power of prayer. See, our God is so awesome, and He knows that that's part of the hope that we have in Him, is the power of prayer, what it can do for each one of us. He hears us, and He loves us, and He's there for each one of us. Our God is a God mighty to listen to our hearts. We have the power, once again, through this time of worship, and also, will the prayer altar ministry please come up? And we will have this time. If you need prayer, pray. It is great to join together in prayer. So we ask and pray this. And if you don't want to go up for prayer, that's okay. You can pray where you're at and just praise and worship the Lord, because there's power in that too.